Okay? No true disciple of the Lord can love family more than God. It's impossible. He won't have it. God will not have it. And Jesus said we must hate them. That means comparatively. It doesn't mean we actually have to hate them. It's a comparative statement. In other words, when family duties or relationships begin to interfere with our obedience to God, we have to deal with those relationships as our enemies. When family relationships and duties begin to replace our love for God, then we have to deal with those relationships as our enemies. When they begin to steal our time from God, we have to deal with those relationships as our enemies. And if they start interfering with our walk as far as taking us down, bringing us up to other spirits, taking us into false doctrines, all those kinds of things, we have to treat those things as our enemies, at least till we get the whole situation straightened out. Not saying we can never talk to them again or can't eat with them ever. But it's God's got to be first. And we've got to at least desire that God's be first, or we're never going to make it. So in short, what I'm saying is when the duties and the affections of family for family come in competition with our Savior, we have to choose Him, regardless of the consequences. When the duties and affections for family come in competition with the Lord, we have to choose Him, regardless of the consequences. Now, the only way we're ever going to love others the way we should, properly, the way God wants us to love them, with His love that's not going to destroy them or us, the only way we can keep all those relationships in the proper place is if we're loving God above everyone else in this world. You know, the reason there are so many messed up relationships among God's people, and the reason the Christian bookstores are full of books on how to fix relationships, and the reason the family counseling industry has become a multi-million dollar industry, is very simple. God's people are breaking the first commandment. They're involved in idolatry, and God's judging those relationships. They're involved in idolatry, and God himself is judging those relationships. And then they go to a church counselor to try and fix it. And the church counselor is going to tell them all kinds of Freudian stuff that comes from psychology that's demonic, that came from a demon spirit, to try and fix the whole thing. Or they'll buy books that come from people who are into psychology. That's the way to pray for them. They'll do anything but get to the root of the problem, which is idolatry, because it's so hard. So, out of the fire, put a scripture up there. It said, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints of the household of God. Amen. And our family, the Christian family, if they're truly Christian, if they're walking with us, they should be just as important to us as our family. And that's something that people can't even think about that. They can't even deal with that. That's nothing on the radar screen. They won't even try to think about trying to do that. So that's the Lord put on my heart this afternoon after all that came about in the room. And I want to encourage Karen to keep on following the Lord. If you make a mistake and you do a wrong thing, God will let you know. And don't listen to anybody that's caught up in that love thing, that they won't let go of their family. So everybody has to do what the Lord tells them. I'm not putting out instructions here and say, everybody do what Karen did. That's not the point at all. What I'm asking everybody to do is be honest with God. That's all. Okay? Just be honest with God and go to God and say, God, is it true? Am I one of those who think you're first, but really you're not? That's all. If we don't do that, we're going to live in some kind of delusion, and we'll never make the high calling. We'll never make the goal, the prize that God has for us. That's the whole point I'm saying this. I'm not trying to put people down, put people under condemnation. I'm just trying to say, hey, if you guys want to go into the fullness of Christ, you want to produce hundredfold fruit, you want to walk in the high calling, you want to be part of the people who are going to be the sons of God, that are going to set over all creation and rule and reign with Christ, God has to be first in our lives. Just make sure God's first. That's all I'm saying. I'm not accusing anybody. Or coming down anybody, okay? Just make sure God's first in our lives. Or we'll never make it. We'll never make the call. We'll never make the goal. Not that we'll be lost. I'm not saying we'll be lost. Just won't make the goal that God has for us. Okay? Amen. Now, does anybody want to comment on that or anything before I go on? Go ahead and share if you want anything. Thank you, Irma. God bless you. Rich says, I love my brother more than my family in the flesh. Well, that's good, Rich. If that's true, that's great. Amen. Maybe you all get to that place. Yellow says, you can love the Lord more than all these and still love our families. Amen. Showing love is very important, but it's always speak to... That's right. I'm not saying you shouldn't love your families at all, Yellow. All I'm saying is put God first. That's all I'm saying. Nobody's saying they shouldn't love their families. But I will say this. A lot of times our love is selfish and it destroys our families rather than helps them. Lots of times God wants us to be hard on our families for a reason, not just to be ignorant and rude. Sometimes when we separate from them, sometimes when we give them a hard word, it helps to break them. It helps to bring them to the Lord. It helps to bring them close to the Lord. See, and if your love is selfish for your family, you'll never give them a hard word. You'll never separate from them. You can't take it. Well, I'm not saying you should love your family. We should love our family, but we got to do it with God's love. And sometimes God's love requires separation. Sometimes God's love requires a hard word. Okay? That's all I'm saying. So I hope nobody's getting that I'm saying, ditch your family. Don't love your family. I love my family. So it's not you can't love your family. It's not you can't be one with your family. It's just you got to keep God first. That's all. It's a real simple thing to say, but it's a real hard thing to do. That's right, Karen. I love my family very much, but I love God more and want to do His will. Amen. That's all there is to it. That's the trick. Okay, looks like Yella has something to share. Go ahead, Yella. You have the mic.
Hi, everybody. I think for me, what it boils down to and what you said is that I think all situations can be a little different. I do commend Karen for obeying the Lord, and I know that that must have been very hard, and she sought Him, and I'm sure that she heard correctly. And then the Lord has other situations, where He might tell someone to do it differently. I know when I got saved, I'm just going to use myself as an example. I came out and most of my family thought I came from another planet, okay, because I had changed so drastically. But I always spoke to them truth. I always told them the Word of God. And I always was, the Lord always impressed me to always show them love. And I guess with my family, it was because I had mentioned earlier, I got pregnant when I was 16. And the boy, I think he was, if I remember correctly, it's been so long ago, I'll be 62, so I might, forgive me if I don't say everything perfectly, Lord. But he was 21, and I had gotten pregnant, and of course, kept my daughter, what a blessing. And my mother, of course, nobody in my family knew the Lord. She loved me no matter what. And I don't know. I know it was the Lord working in the situation. I don't know where I would have been if my mom hadn't loved me through all that I had gone, put her through and gone through. And it didn't matter what I did. To me, she was like the Lord, not even knowing Him. She loved me unconditionally and was always there for me and to help me. And that was always when I came to the Lord. My mother, I got saved in Miami, Florida, and I came home here to Cincinnati, and I was so excited. I thought, I'm going to tell everybody about the Lord. They're going to see how my life has changed, and they're all going to serve Jesus and love Him the way I do. Well, of course, that didn't happen. But nevertheless, I always told them about the Lord, always loved them, and I could not have imagined walking away from them and not showing them the love of Christ. And it took quite some time, but my mother and grandmother received Christ, and my grandfather, my dad did not. They did not walk the walk that I'm walking and that we're walking, but they walked what they understood. But I just think that sometimes I think that's why the Lord said, first, you must love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength before you can even love your neighbor, because it's very difficult, especially family members, to love them when they're not serving the Lord and they don't know the Lord. It takes a laid-down life, I think, to minister to your family and to love them. So I think it's what the Lord speaks to each one of us. I had put the Lord first, even with my grandson. He and I don't have a very good relationship because I have always spoken truth to Joshua, always. And that's why he and I don't get along, is because I did always tell him what the Word of God says. But I love him, but I personally don't care if he really comes around at all because of his attitude and the way he treats his mother. But if he does, and now with this relationship with this girl and this baby, however it turns out, I will, I'm sure, if the Lord tells me not to go around them or not to have them here or not to have nothing to do with that baby because of what they did, the Lord will really have to speak to me not to love them and to reach out to them. But have I always put God first? Absolutely. I've lost most of the people that I know because of that. So it is just really what the Lord speaks to each person. And if I'm not correct in this thinking, let me know, because I like to learn and grow and do what God wants to. But I know that God also wants us to love the way He loves. And when we were very, very, very unloving, He loved us. And I think that that love is what draws people. That's it.
Amen. Well, thanks for sharing, Yellow. That's fine. Like I said, I'll make it clear, I wasn't trying to establish any rules here or any laws or anything. Everybody's got to be led by the Spirit. All I was asking everybody was just go before God, you see, because God knows what's going on in everybody's heart. God knows. The problem is we don't usually know. We think we know, but we don't a lot of times. But if you feel you had God first, then I would never argue that, never doubt that. That's your testimony, okay? Just make sure. It's for our own good. It's for our own good we make sure. You know, we want to stand before the Lord and find out that we weren't any place near what we thought we were. We weren't as pure as you thought we were. We weren't as far as you thought we were. That's going to be a horrible thing for people. You realize how many Christians are going to stand before God. And even if they're not lost, they're going to stand before God and find out. It's like the ultimate report card. At that point, there's no chance to change anything. There's no chance to go back and get it right. You know. So I'm just encouraging everybody to make it right now. Make sure we got it right now. All right? Amen. Okay, I'm going to go through this little something else here. I hope Steve doesn't get mad at me for doing this, but I don't usually do this, but on Friday night, I just happened to be recording the session after Steve talked. The brother that got on, I don't know if you know all anyway, were they in that room, remember, there's a brother that got on there and talked, and what he said was very good, was right on the money. And then he opened his room later on for some people from Steve's room to go. And when he was talking, I didn't get a witness to him. I did not get a witness. This guy was right. But everything he was saying was exactly true. And it troubled me, of course, because I could get a witness. I felt something was going on that was wrong. So he opened his room for a couple of people, and I went there and listened to him for a while. And the Lord showed me why I couldn't get a witness to him. He has a lot of crazy doctrines. He has a haughty, arrogant spirit. And he was saying things, not just the doctrine was wrong, not just his attitude was haughty. He would say that things like, the Spirit of God's here. I feel the weight of the Spirit of God. I feel the anointing's here. The presence of God is in this room. And all kinds of different things he would be describing what the Spirit of God was doing to him and what he felt the Spirit of God was doing in that room. And I can tell you, that was another spirit. And I'm not judging his eternal soul. I don't know whether he's saved or not. It's not my point at all. But I will tell you this. He's another spirit. And I don't know if you all remember what he said, but I'd like to play a clip for you, what he said, because what he said was exactly true. I'm doing this because I'm trying to give you a graphic illustration of how deceptive these religious spirits can be. Because what you have here is a case of false discernment, false spiritual discernment. Brother seemed to have discernment, especially concerning Lakeland. And everything he said was right on the money. But that discernment, I believe, was coming from another spirit. So I want to play a clip for you of what this guy says. Okay, if some of you weren't there, I want you to hear how deceptive and how sneaky and how dangerous these spirits are. So it's only a 3-minute clip. Can anybody handle that? Looks like Steve's here. Good. I was going to call him and tell him I was going to do this. Hang on a second. I'm going to start this up here. Hey, Steve, how you doing? I'm going to play a clip, Steve, from Friday night. I hope you're not upset with me for doing this, okay? I don't usually tape your stuff at all. You're after your show stuff. I don't usually tape it, but somehow I felt prompted to tape Friday night. And this guy, I'm going to use him as an illustration of how sneaky these spirits are, okay? So give me a second here to change over to my system.
Because we are in the midst of an unbelievable delusion. And this thing that's going on in Lakeland right now I think, is far surpassing anything we've seen thus far. And I think it's going to reach, from what I was watching last night, I think it's going to reach out nationally. And not only nationally, but I think it is going to reach out even worldwide. And I was asking the Lord, I was really troubled. I said, Lord, I don't understand. I mean, this has to be of you because, Lord, there people are being healed. And it was like the Lord was speaking to my spirit and showing me the same devil that puts sickness and disease on people can take it off. And I got to thinking about signs and wonders. Why would the devil take the sickness off of those people? Only for the purpose of deceiving, if it were possible, the very elect. Can you imagine the very elect being deceived? You got to understand, it's got to be a great delusion. And folks, it's not the devil sending the delusion, it's the Lord. These people are running after the signs and wonders, and they're not going after the Word. You're not going to hear the Word. You're not going to hear the truth being preached. You're not going to hear about the cross. You're not going to hear the gospel. It's all signs and wonders. I just want to say this, and I'll get off the mic. I found myself this morning laying prostrate before the Lord on my face. And I found myself, from my spirit man, praying a prayer that I've never prayed before. And I mean, it was coming from my innermost being. God, guide my steps. Guide me. Lead me and guide me. Instruct me. Lord, I got to have instruction. I must have direction from you. Lord, my steps must be ordered by you in this hour. I found myself praying prayer. Without you, I can do nothing. I've never prayed to thee as I prayed this. I tell you, God, guys, I tell you, we are in the midst of something, and I'm telling you, and I almost warn you, every single person in this room, fall on your face before God sometime before now in the end of the night or tomorrow morning, and I'm serious. You better be serious and sincere with the Lord, and I'm telling you, rend your heart. Don't be playing games in this hour. Don't play any games. You rend your heart, you get serious with God, I tell you, God will meet you. The Lord will meet you. But you got to get serious. This is the delusion.
Okay. Again, I have nothing against this brother. I don't even know him. I'm just using him as an example to show how deceptive these spirits are. That brother is walking in another spirit. And if you don't believe me, you just go check out his room for about an hour. Anytime. And you'll know he's of another spirit. Now, you don't take my word for it. Go check it out yourself. Okay? He is of another spirit. And that other spirit is denouncing Lakeland. And that other spirit is talking about, we need to hear the word. We need to hear the truth. We need to hear the gospel. We need to hear about the cross. That other spirit is talking about, I need your guidance, God. I can't lean on my own self. I need you. I need your wisdom. I need you to guide my steps. Everything that brother was saying is right in line, right on target with what God's doing right now, and is another spirit. Now that should put a little bit of fear in everybody. I've run into many, many cases like this, many, where one religious spirit is denouncing another religious spirit, where one religious spirit is exposing another religious spirit. You know why people don't believe that's possible? And don't even think it's not on the radar screen? Don't even consider that a possibility? Because Jesus said, if Satan cast out Satan, his kingdom is divided, and his kingdom can't stand. Well, Satan isn't casting out Satan when he's doing that. You see, when you look at this world, when you see people stepping on each other's toes and ruining people's lives to get what they want, killing each other, murdering each other, and all the things that goes on, the power game that everybody does, and on the politics and everything, that's the demonic world, brother. What you're seeing is a picture of what goes on in the demonic world, the demonic realm. That's exactly the way the demons go. It's a dog-eat-dog realm. It's a dog-eat-dog thing. And if one spirit can denounce another spirit, and the end of that thing is Christians following him instead of Jesus, you better believe that spirit will do it. You know, there's a revival, was it called the Tipton Revival, I think it was? It was about 3 years ago. It was a Vineyard thing, but it wasn't a Vineyard church. It was an Assembly of God church, actually. And this revival was going on in this church for like, I don't know, 6 months straight, every night. And finally, this guy, somebody was, must have been some kind of controversy, mocking all those who were saying that revival was false, and it was a false revival. And one of the things he said was, do you think God would have you come to a church and sing about Jesus and praise Jesus? I mean, do you think the devil would have you, would send you to this church to praise Jesus and worship Jesus and hear about Jesus and get saved and see people healed and saved and all that? Do you think the devil would tell you to come to this kind of church? The devil would never do that. He'd rather have you sitting home watching football. That's what he said. See, but the point is, yes, the devil would have us go to a church and sing about Jesus all night long if he was leading us to another Jesus. If he's leading us to another Jesus, yes, he would encourage us to go to church, and he would encourage us to read the Bible, and he would encourage us to do all the things a normal Christian does as long as we are following and getting entangled with another Jesus. And that's what happened to this brother, and it's happened to many, many people. One of the three criteria I've always used as a Christian is it scriptural? Is it in line with God's character? And is it in line with what God's doing, what I know God's doing? God's end time plan. What I know God's bringing forth a company of sons, a company, a remnant of overcomers, a first fruits and all that. Is it in line with the scripture? Does the scripture support it? Is it in line with God's character? Like barking like dogs, you know, is not in line with God's character. Slithering on the ground like snakes. All right, that's not part of God's character. You just know that. Anybody has common sense should know that. And is it part of God's, is it in line with God's plan? Those are the three things I've always, as a Christian, sort of measure everything by. But like I said last week, I'm hearing things right now that pass all three of those tests. And like I talked about Tozer, Tozer had seven tests that he gave out. I have an article where Tozer wrote, he gave seven tests to test whether your experience was coming from God. And this is passing all these tests. What's happening now is the devil has been given the power to pass all your little tests, to speak absolute truth from the scripture, to speak absolutely in line with what God's doing, and to even speak what's in line with God's character. And so that's what I was trying to say this week. We've got to become more equipped, more adept, more skilled, find out what the source of the thing is. It's not an issue whether it's true or false anymore. It's not an issue if somebody has a bad character, they got a bad attitude, or they're talking funny. The issue is, what's the source of the thing? We have to have the discernment to find out what the source of this thing is coming from, whether it's true or not, whether it's in line with what God's saying or not. These spirits have the power to pass all our tests. Okay? It's a scary thing we're facing. But God's more powerful. And if we go to God and ask for discernment, ask for wisdom and discernment, and go check and ask him to show us the source, no matter what it is, no matter who it is. Always be asking God to show you the source, to give you a witness, like somebody just said up here. Does it bear witness with our spirit? There's an inner witness that is true or not. That's right. There's an inner witness whether it's true or not. And see, whenever I read anybody's visions or dreams or words or anything I'm listening to, reading books, listening to people online, whatever it is, I'm always asking the Lord, God, give me a witness. What's the source? The devil can speak truth. The devil can speak things that are in line with what God's doing. The devil can speak things that are in line with God's character. But he can't fake the source. God can show us the source of all these things. And that's what we need. That's what I was trying to say last week. We must come to know the source. Everybody with me? Hang on a second. Looks like Steve wants to say something. Go ahead, Steve. You got the mic.
Okay. Can you hear me now? I just wanted to agree with you, and let's go a little further about this inner witness, because like you said, it seems like these spirits are passing all of our external tests, and but there's still an inner witness. When that guy was talking the other night, I had a check in my spirit about it, but he didn't really say anything. I mean, I had my hand on the button ready to cut him off, but he didn't really say anything that was out of line, and I was actually encouraged by how many people have written to me and said, hey, man, that guy was off. And just to let everybody know, we did go into that room. My wife has an alias that nobody knows. So after he opened up his room, we went into that room, and we heard what was going on, and it was clear that it was another spirit. And I don't know if the guy was just trying to draw disciples unto himself by opening up his own room. I don't know still if he's a false brethren or if he's just still full of a lot of the leaven of the apostasy of the harlot church system, which I kind of picked up on some of that when he was talking, because he still had a lot of that junk in him. And so anyway, we need to learn to listen to that inner witness. And I'm trying to learn that myself. I'm trying to get more discerning at that myself, and not to allow people to speak in the room that I feel like are gonna bring a bad spirit in there. And so some of that, even today, some of the things I was saying today was along those lines. If I sounded kind of harsh today towards some people, certain people, it was because there are some people that come to our room that are bringing these religious spirits with them, and they won't listen, you know. They're just not listening to us when we've told them before to get delivered of it. So what do you think, Dan? I mean, that's really it. It's developing that discernment and developing that understanding of going by that inner witness that we have, don't you think?
That's exactly right, Steve. I'm glad you got on there and talked, because that's exactly what I'm trying to tell people. They don't realize, God's people don't realize the kind of power Satan has been given, you know, and it's been given to him by God. He's not pulling anything over on anybody, and he's not given more power that we can overcome. We can still overcome him, and God's for us. He's not turning us over, not leaving us hanging, okay? But he has been given a lot of more power. So when Paul says, he who now letteth, that means he who now restraineth, will step out of the way. He will stop restraining. Satan has been restrained. You realize this, many of the things that Satan is doing right now inside the Christian church has not been happening for centuries. It's only happened in the Catholic Church. It's only happened in the Buddhists and the Hindus and all that kind of stuff, the New Agers. This stuff is relatively new because God's just taken the chain off of Satan. He was not allowed to do that stuff inside the true Christian church before. He had a certain amount of power to deceive us, but he was restrained. The restrainer was restraining him, and the restrainer is no longer restraining him. And everything he can do, he is going to do.